Our Lady's words, taken from The Mystical City of God, Conception, Book 1, Chapter 22. Our Lady speaks of some of the spiritual exercises of her youth and discusses the faults of human beings to their Creator.
My daughter, since thou art full of wonder, I will inform thee in all kindness. It is true that I was in possession of grace and of the use of reason from the first instant of my conception. As I have so often shown thee, I underwent the hardships of infancy as other children, and I was reared and treated as others of the same condition. I felt hunger, thirst, sleepiness, and other infirmities of the body, and as a daughter of Adam, I was subjected to these accidental necessities. For it was just that I should imitate my most holy Son, who hath subjected himself to these hardships and defects, in order that he might merit so much the more, and in order that he might be an example to the rest of mortals for their imitation. As I was governed by divine grace, I made use of eating and sleep in moderation, allowing myself less than others, and only so much as was proper for the augmentation and the preservation of my life and health. Disorder in these things is not only against virtue, but against the well-being of nature itself, which is invaded and ravaged by it. On account of my exquisite composition, I was affected by hunger and thirst more painfully than other children, and the want of nourishment was more dangerous to me. But if it was given to me at unseasonable times or in excess, I bore it with patience until some befitting sign I could manifest my needs. I felt less the want of sleep on account of the opportunity which it furnished me for the presence and the heavenly conversation of the angels. That I was bound and wrapped in clothes was not painful to me, but it was a cause of much joy, for I understood by divine light that the incarnate Lord was to suffer a most cruel death and was to be bound most shamefully. Whenever I was alone during my childhood, I placed myself in the form of a cross, praying it in imitation of him, for I knew that my beloved was to die in that position, although I did not know then that he was to be crucified, was to be my son. In all the difficulties which I underwent after I was born into the world, I was resigned and contented, for I never lost sight of one consideration, which I desire thee always to keep in mind. It is this, that thou ponder in thy heart and in thy soul the truths which I saw, so that thou mayest form a correct judgment of all things, giving to each that esteem and value which is its due. In regard to this, the children of Adam are ordinarily full of error and blindness, but I desire that thou, my daughter, share it not with them. As soon as I was born into the world and made aware of the light which shone upon me, I felt the effects of the elements, the influence of the planets and of the stars, of the earth which sustained me, of the nourishments which preserved me, and of all the other things of this life. I gave thanks to the author of all things, acknowledging his works as benefits freely bestowed upon me, and not as dues which he owed to me. Therefore, when anything was wanting of the necessaries of life, I remained in peace and contentedness, and deemed it all perfectly reasonable and proper in my regard, since I had merited none of the gifts and could justly be deprived of all of them. Hence, if I acknowledged this, thereby merely asserting a truth which the human reason cannot ignore or deny, where have mortals their intellect, or what use do they make of their understanding, when, at the refusal of things which they desire, and of which they perhaps they do not even profit, they begin to get sad and lash themselves into fury one against the other, and even against their God, as if they were suffering some injury at his hands. Let them inquire what treasures and riches they did possess before they came into life. What services had they rendered unto God in order to merit them? And if out of nothing there cannot arise anything, and if they could not merit the being which they had received, what obligation is there on the part of God to preserve out of justice what was given to them entirely gratuitously? That God created man was of no benefit to himself, but to man it was a benefit, and one as great as the being given to him, and as high as the object for which it was given. And if in his creation man becomes indebted so much that he can never pay his debt, tell me what right can he invoke at present for his preservation? Has he not received his being without merit and many times forfeited it? How can he claim the guarantee and pledge of unfailing plenty? If the first transaction and operation was a mortgage and a debt by which man binds himself, how can he with such impatience demand favors? And if in spite of all this, the supreme goodness of the Creator furnishes him graciously with what is necessary, why should he be agitated by the want of superfluities? O my daughter, what an execrable disorder and what a despicable blindness of mortals is this! For that which the Lord gives them gratuitously, they do not thank Him, or even give Him acknowledgement. For what that He denies them justly, and sometimes most mercifully, they are restless and proudly desirous, and they try to procure it by unjust and forbidden means, throwing themselves into the very destruction which flies from them. The first sin alone, committed by man, was sufficient to cancel man's right to the friendly service of all other creatures. And if the Lord Himself would not restrain them, they would turn in vengeance upon man and refuse to render any service or help for sustaining his life. The heavens would deny them their light and benign influence. The fire would refuse its heat. The air would cease to serve for respiration. And all the other things would in their particular way refuse their services, since they would in justice be bound to refuse them. Then when the earth would deny its fruits, and the elements their moderation and their assistance, and all the other creatures would arm themselves to avenge the wrongs of their Creator, perhaps disgraced man would humiliate himself in his vileness, and would not heap up the wrath of the Lord for the unerring day of accountance, when all his dreadful guilt will be exposed. But thou, my dear friend, fly from such base ingratitude, and humbly acknowledge that thou hast received thy being and life gratuitously, and that its author preserves it for thee. Freely dost thou receive all other benefits, without any merit of thine. And thus, receiving much and repaying little, thou makest thyself daily less worthy of favors, while the liberality of the Most High grows continually in thy indebtedness. Let this thought be uppermost in thee always, in order that it awaken and move thee to many acts of virtue. If any of the irrational creatures fail thee, I desire thee to rejoice in the Lord and give thanks to His Majesty, and bless them for their obedience to the Creator. If the rational creatures persecute thee, love them with all thy heart, and regard them as the instruments of divine justice, which afford thee some opportunity of rendering satisfaction for thy deficiency. Rather strengthen and console thyself in labors, adversities, and tribulations, not only considering them as fully deserved by the faults committed, but deeming them ornaments of the soul and most rich jewels given to thee by thy spouse. Let this be the answer to thy debt. Over and above this, I wish thee to give an instruction, which may be found in all the chapters. Consider, my soul, the punctuality of my mother Anne, in fulfilling the precept of the law of the Lord, to whose majesty this solicitude was very pleasing. In this thou shouldest imitate her by observing inviolate each and every one of the precepts of thy rules and constitutions. For God will reward most liberally this fidelity and severely punish any negligence in this matter. Without sin I was conceived, and it was not necessary to present me to the priest in order that the Lord might purify me. Nor was this necessary for my mother, since she was very holy. Nevertheless, we humbly obeyed the law, and thereby we merited great increase in virtue and grace. Despising just and wise laws, and frequently dispensing with them, destroys the worship and fear of God, and fatally confuses government among men. Beware of easily dispensing in the obligations of the religious state, either for thyself or for others. If infirmity or some other just cause make it advisable, let it be done with moderation and with the approbation of the confessor, thus justifying dispensation before God and before men by the approbation of holy obedience. If thou findest thyself weary or weakened, do not at once give strength according to thy faith in Him. Do not give any dispensation on pretext of being overworked. Make that which is less severe and advance that which is greater. Let the creature serve the Creator. On account of thy position as superioress, thou hast less excuse. For in the observation of the laws, thou must give a good example, leading on the others. Therefore, for thyself, no merely human motive can serve as an excuse, though thou mayest sometimes excuse thy sisters and subjects on such account. Note, moreover, my dearest, that I desire thee to lead in perfection. Therefore, this rigor is necessary, not even taking into consideration that the observance of the precepts is a duty to God and men. Let no one think that it is enough to fulfill all obligations toward the Lord, and at the same time tread underfoot the duty toward his neighbor, to whom is due good example and avoidance of all real scandal. O Queen and Mistress of all creation, would that I could attain the purity and the virtue of the supernal spirits, in order that this inferior part of my being, which weighs down the soul, may prompt me to fulfill thy celestial teachings. I have become burdensome unto myself, but with thy intercession and the gracious favor of the Most High, I will be able to obey thy will and his with a loving promptitude of heart. Let not thy intercession and support and the guidance of thy holy and wise counsels ever fail me.